Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, our visiting critic in studio this week is comedian Eric Lawler. Welcome, Eric.
Oliver, thanks for having us.
Not at all. I'm delighted you did this because I didn't know until about a month ago that this was even a thing.
Yeah.
Climbing walls obviously this is getting people out of their comfort zone. So where is your comfort zone?
Where is my comfort zone? My comfort zone is on stage, Oliver, doing stand-up comedy or acting in Fair City or, Electric Picnic this weekend, being a reveller down
shouting
there.
Your feelings out,
yes,
basically.
Exactly, yeah, very good. And pleading for validation and acceptance from crowds. But awesome walls I went to tackle climbing, yeah, because it was on everyone's radar because of the Olympics.
Yes, it has been.
Yes.
And this is probably why we were suddenly reminded. People, yeah, we've been climbing for years.
Yeah,
what you're talking
about. Yeah,
yeah. Awesome Walls is in Dublin somewhere?
It's just off the M50, off the Finglas exit. And it's a brilliant, it's probably the top climbing facility in the country. Yeah. I arrived there for an hour session to be coached by the wonderful Alex, who was you know, when you meet somebody who's passionate about their job, and he was telling me, yeah, everything, and he was giving me the coaching to go up the wall. Awesome. And I said to him, the first thing I said to him was, Awesome Walls, is that a play on Orson Welles? And he just looked at me blank. He went, no. Well, all right, sound, yeah. Now I think I've given them an idea, you know.
It doesn't sound like it. But,
yeah. But we started off with the first climb, Oliver. And he just said, look, climb up whatever way you want. You'll be on a harness. You won't fall. And yeah, I'm not great with heights.
And I was about to say, you look fitter than the last time I saw you.
Oh, thanks,
I wouldn't say you weren't fit then, but you look like you've done something since.
Yeah, I've been training hard. And the gym is actually near the climbing centre. I train with Philly McMahon.
Oh yeah, because he put you through your paces. Yeah,
yeah. So I've been training with him for the last couple of years.
What's the name of his gym again? He's got a kind of funny name.
B27.
B27, or yeah, something to do with
Be yourself, do yourself. I don't know.
7 days a week.
He's told me loads of times.
Very gymmed up name.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're a fit fella. We thought climbing walls might be too comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Because fitness, but apparently
but
not.
You use different muscles, Oliver. You're not lifting weights. You're not pushing weights. You're not running on a treadmill. Like on one of the climbs, right, for instance, like it's a 12-meter wall. And on one of the climbs, I got about 3/4 up and my foot had a spasm attack. Do you ever get a spasm attack in your foot where cramp comes into your foot?
Usually not on the wall at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you mean.
I was on the wall and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And Alex was like, oh, listen, just if you can't do it anymore, just rest there and take a breather. So I was left kind of hanging in midair.
Really? That's where your rest just up there.
Yeah, just so that the spasm would dissipate from the yeah. And that was another thing as well. When you're coming back down, you have to abseil back down, but you can't. Yeah. You know the way Tom Cruise goes down a big building, he slams into it. I had to walk down it. Backwards,
oh right,
and he slowly lets you down. But I had to hang around for about 3 minutes until the spasm went from the foot. And once that left me, I was able to get. But you know, there's an enormous sense of achievement when you get to the top because you touched the last piece,
12 foot,
and he goes, right, you ready to come down? You're like, yeah. But the sweat, Oliver. Right, I went down with my gym gear on. And after the first climb, drenched in sweat, absolutely drenched in sweat.
And this is a man who goes on stage.
Yeah, this is it. Like, you know what I mean? A man who performs to big crowds and doesn't sweat an inch. But once I got up on that climbing wall, it was out of my comfort zone, as you say. But I did it 3 times. There was another thing as well, Oliver. I don't know if you saw the Olympics. They had the speed climb.
Yeah.
So these lads were running from fly up the wall in 5 seconds.
And they had to do it in the same arena where the breakdancing was going on.
I know, yeah.
Especially when I saw it, I was like, why are they playing such loud music and shouting at the person on the wall? It was behind them.
I was like, that's not worse. Saying, where's my music?
The speed climb, they literally scramble up there.
15 metres, Oliver, right? I can't even run 15 metres in 5 seconds. And these people are climbing 15 seconds. That's wild. I tried that climb and it took me 4 minutes. 4 minutes, and they're doing it in 4 seconds. You know,
that was very good, by the way, for me.
It was all right, yeah, yeah.
So, like in terms of fitness and how you've been, have you always been into sport and fit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all through me early years of my youth, I played football, you know. So you used to keep yourself. Then I went, discovered women and drink and stopped doing fit things. And it's only later in life I've realised, you know, the importance of physical fitness. And anyone who's thinking about getting fit, join a gym or start climbing. Like you will use every muscle in your body.
Your kind of fitness thing, how long has that been going?
I'd say I've been doing it, I'd say since the pandemic
Four
ended.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah, because you know, piled around during the pandemic.
Was it very difficult starting it off?
Yeah, that's the worst part. Once you make the first step, that's the hardest part, you know. The great thing about starting off, Oliver, is you're at a fairly heavy weight. And then within a week or two, if you are training hard, it falls off you. So I think in the first 2-3 months, I lost like 12, 13 kilos. And I was like, oh my God, this is great.
In what space of time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many weeks?
Oh, sorry, about 3-4 months kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that would be safe. Well, yeah. That'd be safe enough.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I was still eating, you know, and I wasn't. Yeah. And now, recently we did a 6-week challenge. So Philly says, right, we want you to train hard, but we also want you to stick to this nutrition plan. And there's about 40 of us in the gym. And I finished second, Oliver. I finished second, just in terms of body shape, body fat loss. And
body shape?
Yeah, body shape.
Who's judging this?
Are we bringing a calendar out, Philly? What's the story, you know? Second, and I won a 6-month membership for his recovery studio, which is great. You know, cold water, jacuzzi, sauna.
What kind of prize is that, the cold water?
you won a 6-month membership to the torture chamber. Style prize.
I can imagine the two, yourself and Philly now. Yeah. There'll be a lot of manly aggro going on there.
Yeah. Lots of testosterone there, Oliver, let me tell you.
Followed by a little cry, scramble at the wall.
Can I have a hug, please?
So someone who has never climbed before, you're harnessed up and it's all safe. So if you go up the wall and you wobble at all, you're probably convinced you're far off the ground.
Even though you're in the harness, Oliver, if you've got a fear of heights, you still have that fear.
Right.
Even if I was to try and jump, you're not going to fall and hit the ground because the guy has
you start wobbling, don't you, when you're scared?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And look, they're very aware of it as well. Like they say, look, as soon as you feel uncomfortable, let us know and we'll bring you back down. But I was determined. I knew I was coming on your show, Oliver. And I said, I'm doing this for Oliver. I'm doing this for Oliver and the team out there in RTE. And I scaled
up
that
one. For RTE. Said nobody ever.
Oh, congratulations on the JNLR, by the way.
Oh, right. Wow, whatever that is. That's amazing. Fine. Back to walls. Because we're climbing up the most of the time here anyway. What's the kind of most common mistake people make when they're on the wall? Because I'd imagine it's like you're pulling yourself up. That would be the hard bit.
As I said, the first time I was able to grab whatever piece I wanted. Then he tried to make it a little bit more difficult for me the second time. He says, right, Eric, pick a colour. The green, yellow or the red. So then I could only use the yellow or the red or whatever colour he decided. That was more difficult. So you really have to look at the wall and kind of map how you're going to get up. But there were moments, Oliver, when I say I got to about 8 or 9 metres, another 2 or 3 metres to go, and I'd be like stuck trying to look for the next part. And Alex would be down below me going, just opposite your right calf, if you just move your legs slightly to the right, you'll see, propel yourself up on that.
Oh, no.
And you still have that fear that you're going to fall.
Yeah.
But because you're on a harness, you're not, and you have to convince yourself you're not going to fall.
You don't fully trust the thing
you
that's
don't.
There.
You
do
don't.
You?
You're relying on Alex.
It must be sore in your feet as well, is it?
Yeah, as I said, I got a spasm attack in the foot. But
are there special shoes?
No. You see, this is the thing. When you get serious at climbing, you get the special shoes. Oh, I was just in my ordinary trainers. And that's why I didn't break the Olympic record, I think. I think next time I have the climbing shoes on, I'll be in that Olympic team.
Surely you got to do the fun chalk dust thing.
The bouldering, that's called, Oliver, right? So there's a speed one climb, which was very popular. It's over in 5 seconds. But the bouldering is where you're climbing at angles, you're upside down. You have to become literally like a Spider-Man.
So the normal wall, you don't get to use the fun chalk.
No.
Because you'd feel so professional, wouldn't you?
I did that. I went over to the powder thing, wiped the hands didn't bother trying the bouldering because I just wanted to have the sensation of rubbing the powder between the hands and looking like an Olympic athlete.
Because the gymnast, and I wonder what the effect is of breathing all of that in your life.
Well, it's something to do with grip, I think, because the hands are sweaty and, you know, people lifting
up
weights.
I know it's
weights.
The grip, but they have to, obviously there's a cloud of dust there. It's chalk, isn't it?
Yeah,
whatever
I hope
it is.
It's chalk.
Well, what do you mean it's chalk, okay, to breathe in? Somebody tell us, if Simone Biles is listening, 5-1-5-1, how are your lungs? So you absolutely loved it.
I loved it.
So when you said you use different group of muscles, when you figured it out, what muscles are you, where does it come from?
I think mostly you're using your back muscles and also, like, your fingers. Like, you really need strong fingers.
That'd be the worst, yeah.
Yeah, because now you can get a good grip on the things, but, like, you're pulling your whole body weight up and you're using your foot as leverage as well. So your toes and your fingers, you're like, oh, I need to start working. I need to start training my toes and fingers a bit more. If you want to become a serious climber, there's tiny bits of your body that have never been
neglected. How do you gym work out your fingers?
I don't know. Can you get tiny dumbbells or something like that? I don't know. Just heavy rings on your fingers or something.
Piano?
Piano. Yeah, exactly.
You can come in having learned piano to the same guy that you crack the Orson Welles joke.
Yes.
I'm doing Chopin's. So that's how blank again. Just get up the wall. Come here, you, as well as a comedy, you're now a League of Ireland commentator.
Oh, yeah, I suppose
allegedly.
I am. So As anyone that knows me knows, I'm a big Bowes fan, you know, and Bowes has a voluntary ethos. It's a people's club, whatever. But we also, there's a thing called LOI TV, and people subscribe to it and watch League of Ireland matches. So it's the home club that provides the commentators. Now, Bowes do have an array of commentators, professional broadcasters, really good people like Stephen Doyle and all that.
Exactly, yeah.
And sometimes people aren't available and they go, Eric, would you fancy a go at this? And I'm like, wow.
You say words out loud, Eric.
Yes, words out loud into a microphone, commentating on football, which I adore, about my favourite club in the world. But the first time I did it, Oliver, we were playing Drogheda a few weeks ago. And I thought, you know, professional setup, go into the gantry, the teams would be there in front of me. No, no such thing. So I knew all the Bowes players, but I didn't know the Drogheda players. I knew some of them. So I was like, and there's the number seven off Drogheda, and he's got the pass into the ginger lad, and the ginger lad has it now.
I prefer commentary like that sometimes. It's horrendous.
But this is it, Oliver. I'm getting a lot of text going, do you know what? I really enjoyed your commentary because it's completely irreverent and off the beaten track, like, you know.
And because you're a Bowes fan, then how can you commentate on your own teams?
Yeah.
Because I'd imagine when you're in the stands, you're unbroadcastable.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's, you know, it's watershed stuff. but commentating, because you're such a fan, you have to, I suppose, try and be a little bit unbiased. But I can't stop that. I can't. So but we commentated last week. Bowes were 2-0 up against Waterford at half-time. Flying in great form, and then within 30 seconds of the second half, Waterford had pulled a goal back, and you can hear in the commentary my voice sinking. I think when Waterford got the third goal to go 3-2 up, I wanted to swear. I was like, and I had to stop myself, and I had to go, and there's a goal for Waterford. You know what I mean? Just like, I was so angry, and my co-commentator was a Bowes fan as well, and the two of us were like this, oh my god. So that's a goal for Waterford.
Lots of thousand calories
And I did, there was one or two comments from Waterford fans going, I was delighted because that commentator was so biased.
Obviously, like, not understanding where. There's something about League of Ireland fans, particularly Bowes, I think.
Yeah.
It's that I almost fear talking to them, like a Gael Gore who's really excellent Irish. I don't want to speak Irish to them because they'll go, he doesn't know his Tishel Ginnajock. Like, I better not say anything about anything here because, you know, we're supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
Suppose they are not going so well.
No, we're struggling. Let's be honest, Oliver. Yeah. We're struggling. And Pats and Rovers doing great in Europe. We're delighted. No, we're not. We struggling big time at the moment. But, you know, Bowes fans, they have this motto, born to moan. All right? But I'm the glass half full kind of guy. And I think with Alan Reynolds, the manager, he's got off to a very bad start. But I have faith in him. And I think we will get it right. I don't think we'll be relegated.
You
fail
with them
so.
Until you come up with a good chant that says otherwise. So it's the relegation zone is the bottom two, I presume. It's like normal.
Yeah. So the bottom team gets relegated, and the second bottom team goes into a playoff with the runners up in the first division or something like that.
Because we had Arthur Matthews here a few weeks ago. He's a Drogheda fan.
Who's that?
Arthur Matthews.
Oh yeah, yeah.
See, they're rock
bottom. They're at the bottom. No, Dundalk are at the bottom.
Oh, Dundalk
are just above them, and Bowes are looking over the shoulder at the two County Louth rivals going, lads, this is getting serious. A few weeks ago we were going, we might get Europe, and now we're going, geez, we might get Kerry next season, you know.
When was the last time Bowes were down?
They were never relegated.
Yeah, never.
Never.
So this is really, really bad.
Hope I'm not jinxing it, Oliver.
Bad season. Yeah. But there's a few months left to go.
Yeah, there's about 11 or 12 games left. You know, plenty of time. But we've got a lot of hard matches.
We're playing Shells next.
Shells twice we have in the next couple of weeks. And then we've got Rovers and Derry as well. So it's, you know, it's really up in
the hoops. See, I know things now. Is it okay?
Is
my League of Ireland Tisha Ginnajock up to scratch? Electric Picnic, you are going to Electric Picnic.
I am, Oliver, I can't wait.
As a spectator, I presume, as well as performer.
Yes, I'm going down in the morning. I'm doing my podcast there tomorrow night, 20 to 7 in the Minefield. You must be joking. Myself and Will R. White.
That's the name of it. Yeah. It did sound to you just casually. Yeah.
I know, anytime I say I've got a podcast, people go, you must be joking. I say, that's it, exactly, yeah. So it's me and Will R. White, and it's been going great for us, Oliver. We kicked it off in March and it's flying, and we get all sorts of guests in. Sometimes we just fly solo and shoot the breeze ourselves. But we've got our guest, this is our first ever live show, And we've got Maisie Adam, who's a brilliant UK comedian.
Yeah.
She's coming on the podcast. She's
really good.
And she's headlined the Comedy Tent as well. And I'm doing the Comedy Tent then on Sunday at 1:45.
Oh, is there a name in the Comedy Tent?
Is there a name?
It's just a Comedy
just
Tent.
Just a Comedy Tent.
Oh, yeah.
You
think you would come up with something there, would you?
Yeah.
Willa White, love Willa White as well.
Do you love Willa,
former Chinese takeaways.
Oh, yes.
Is he from the same part of the world as you?
He is, Ballymun, yeah.
Oh, he's Ballymun as well, brilliant. And Jane Gowan, who we were mentioning earlier on, has done this article on People Too Old for Nightclubs. I presume she'd say you should be nowhere near the EP.
I was listening to that, Oliver, and I was bristling with rage in the waiting area, going, I cannot believe.
More calories lost.
Yeah. That's how I'm in shape. I'm just apparently angry. I have a six pack. It's just, yeah, and I heard that. I'm like, I'm going down to Electric Picnic. My son is going down there. He's 21. He's going down with all his mates and he's going to be raving with his da in the woods.
Does he know there. That?
He does. And he's embracing it. All his mates think I'm a star.
Are you sure? Yeah. He's getting his lift down. He's going, right, good luck, da.
Yeah, in fairness, he's going, listen, Dad, I'm just here for the plus one. Good luck. I'll see you on Monday.
He's one of the twins.
Yeah, Adam twins. Is the. But Adam and Alex, like, they don't even look like brothers or behave like brothers. Never mind twins. Completely different interests.
Oh, great.
But I was only saying to one of your researchers there, Oliver, like, the one thing that I think would unite both of them in a common thing is the climate. I think both of them would be amazing. I think they both love the climate. Alex is a footballer, he's very fit. Adam. He's fit, but he doesn't really do much. He doesn't do any sports. But I remember as a kid when he was younger, he'd go to these play centres and he was like Spider-Man climbing up the walls.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure, the kids love it.
Yeah, so when I told him, he said, yeah, I'll be all over that.
Are they going to do it? Are you
going
to
go up to Awesome Walls again, the three
so
of us?
So you love this so much, you're going back?
100%, Oliver, yeah.
And bringing the boys?
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, how much is a session or whatever you call it?
Do you know what? Because I got it for free, Oliver, I didn't even ask. But I'm sure you have a website.
We will find out because we have good people. We need to say what it is. Anything else?
Well, do you know what, Oliver? I came on mainly to promote me solo stand-up show.
Hang on, that's not how we usually work. Go on, which is in the Laughter Lounge, is it?
No, it's not in the Laughter Lounge, Oliver. It's in the Liberty Hall Theatre.
Sorry. The podcast is brought to you.
Yes.
No, sorry, the Electric Picnic is brought to you. But I really should read these things before.
The podcast is with the Laughter Lounge and Joe.
Very good, yes, that's good. So you're a standalone show.
Yes.
Which is?
Is Lawler by Nature. See what I did there, Oliver?
Lawler by Nature.
So it's usually me just laughing, the audience just staring at me. So it's the biggest solo show I've ever done. It's 400 seats, September 19th, and I'd love to sell it out. There's a few tickets left.
September 19th.
Good few tickets left.
And it's in?
In the Liberty Hall Theatre.
In Liberty Hall. Oh, that's a lovely theatre, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I've done Panto there before.
Have you?
Yeah.
I can't see that the stage really working for Panto. It's like a proper, like...
It's like a circular kind of thing?
Yeah, it's just a lovely, really nice theatre. I've only been there once or twice there recently. And I don't think people actually often know from outside of Dublin that there's a theatre in Theatre Liberty.
I know. It's a union building. Like, you
it
know.
Is, yeah.
So if there's any...
You said that in a way we're going, yeah, I'm into this. As a comedian,
left
it works.
Wing. Yeah.
Self-employed capitalism.
I'd be saying
buy
to any,
me tickets.
I'd be saying to the people, don't use the toilets here if you're a Republican because they're at the Union Jacks. Here you go. That's a joke there, Oliver.
That's the type of thing. Lawler by Nature.
It'll be a lot better than that, Oliver, let me tell you.
The Gen Z Diary, we should send them as a visiting critic to Eric Lawler's gig, September 19th. I think it would shock anyone, some 50. Eric, thanks so much and enjoy Awesome Walls the next time.
I will.
And the EP and all of that.